So, let me read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is alive. If he wasn't alive, we would all waste our time here today. But because he lives, he just doesn't live. He's present. He's here. He's here. I have a few points here. Some of them God gave me a while back. Then I've got some fresh stuff. And I trust you will enjoy it all. You know, I start with Mark. This is some truth God gave me many years ago. And I heard many others were inspired by it and preached that sermon of mine. But, as we say in Africa, copyright is the right to copy. If you copyright. I'm not saying that because I'll be in hot waters here. I'm not saying that it is right, but that what it's done. So I am always glad when I see somebody get something and feels it's worth a while to tell others and get others saved. I'm so glad. I'm so glad in Jesus' name. Okay, let me turn to Mark chapter 15, as from verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, and the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So, when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins, the just for the unjust, the Holy One for the sinful one, that he may bring us to God. Jesus hung 6 hours on the cross, from morning 9 o'clock to 3 p.m. 6 hours. Normally, that secular history that tells us this, normally, it could take up to 2 days for a man to die the death of crucifixion. So, when Jesus died after 6 hours, you know, well, I always think it took God 6 days to create the world. And Jesus hung 6 hours on the cross to redeem us. Isn't that something? When Jesus had died, Joseph of Arimathea, the village was Arimathea, a secret council member of the Sanhedrin, he went to Pilate, put all his courage together as a secret disciple, and asked Pilate, the Roman governor, to give to him the body of Jesus for burial. Pilate was amazed, 6 hours, only 6 hours. He thought there was something fishy. So he took one senior captain and said, you go back and check out whether this Jesus, who's supposed to be dead, is really dead. It was that captain that went to the cross, and I think he was the one who thrust the spear into the side of Jesus to open his heart. And then he saw blood and water flowing out separately. This is what the report here says, a sure sign of death. He went back to Pilate, to the governor, and said, yes, I vouch for the fact that this Jesus is dead. And when Pilate was sure that Jesus was dead, he began to smile. He said, Joseph, you can have your Jesus, with the compliments of Caesar in Rome. Why did he say that? Why did he do that? Suddenly the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And he said to me, he did that because Jesus was dead. And you didn't need to fear a dead Jesus, because a dead Jesus is a useless Jesus. So he was very happy to give Jesus as dead, completely dead, stone dead, to Joseph. And I thought this is exactly what the devil does today. The devil doesn't mind to give a dead Jesus to Christians even. A dead Jesus is a harmless Jesus. A dead Jesus can no more raise the dead, can no more heal the sick, can no more cast out demons. That's why Pilate was happy. I sometimes say jokingly, that was before Pontius became a pilot. This is a very valid truth. This is a valid truth. Satan is not afraid of a dead Jesus or a dead religion. He loves people to go that way because he knows they will remain in their deadness of sin forever. Well, Jesus was dead, but he didn't remain dead. 3 days later, a stirring in the ground. The universe was shaken in revulsion already when Jesus died on the cross. Heaven and earth reacted. It was the pivot of time and the heart of our redemption and salvation. Praise God. The Romans had put a wax seal on that stone with which the grave was sealed. Huh? It was enough. One angel came. One angel broke the seal of the world empire. And Jesus came out alive. Wonderfully alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. years ago, I was the customer of somebody's little shop. I think he was an Indian. We became friends. And we talked together. I talked to him about Jesus. He told me about his gods. And then one day he said to me, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to the founder of my religion. I said, well, go and have a good look, and when you come back, tell me what you saw. Weeks later, I saw him again, and there he was, beaming and telling me how beautiful that grave was. He said it was decked with gold and silver and precious stones. It was so beautiful. He kept saying and repeating, it was so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful. Suddenly the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And you know what he said to me? He said to me, the most beautiful thing about the grave of Jesus is that it is empty. The first message on Easter was a negative message. The angel said, he is not here, for he is risen. Oh, hallelujah. I said to him, if you want gold and silver and precious stones, take it. I keep the living Jesus. Jesus is everything to me. Hallelujah. He is alive. He's alive. If you bury a lie, it will rot. If you bury the truth, it will rise. And that is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why the grave could not hold him. He rose, and we, his people, will rise with him one day. Are you happy? Hallelujah. Jesus is here. You know what? Nobody has written a book to prove that Reinhard Bonnke is alive. And I will tell you why. Because living people tend to show up. And Jesus is alive and shows up. He is here. All Jesus wants to have is a chance to show that he is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. Glory to God. He is alive, and he has given us life. Abundant life. Are you happy? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard a preacher preach that we in churches must defend Jesus like a lawyer defends accused in court. And the better we can defend Jesus, the people will have a good, good feeling about him. But I tell you one thing. We don't argue to defend Jesus. That is just human wisdom. Jesus needs no defense. He is not the dependent. What is it? Defendant. Sorry. He's not the accused. He's not then being accused of anything wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he will be the judge of all the earth. We are the accused, not him. We don't need to make speeches for juries to come to a good verdict. He is the judge of all the earth. Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't need to defend a lion. Just open the cage. He will know how to look after himself. And Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus has prevailed. He is alive. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he is alive. He's not the prisoner in the dock. He's the judge. He is the judge. His repute is beyond any jury. And I'll let you know, thank God if we have got lawyers here, I'm not talking about you. All I want to say is this. We are not lawyers or attorneys or barristers to defend Jesus. I tell you what we are, and it came out of the mouth of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. No, we are not lawyers. We don't need to defend Jesus. He defends us. He's above all principalities and powers. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We are witnesses. The apostles did not preach logic. I'll tell you what they preached. They preached the power of God. That is what made apostles apostles and Christians Christians. And if we preach what the apostles preached, we will get what the apostles got. Preach the original gospel and you will get the original results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are witnesses. Normally a witness just speaks and tells us what he knows. But sometimes a witness is himself a piece of evidence in court. He'll take off his jacket and his sweater. He bares his back and he says, these are the wounds, now scars, that that defendant caused. I was half dead. He is a living piece of evidence. When we have the living Jesus, we are, all of us that are saved, living pieces of evidence that Jesus is alive, that Jesus saves and delivers. Hallelujah. I don't know whether I told you that last time or not, but I met an atheist. We were in a television program together, live, nationwide. He told me he was atheist. I told him that I was a hot evangelist. And he looked for his opportunity now to get me down to the ground. And he said, what you preach is nonsense. It's not the truth. Somebody has just thought it up. He said, the blood of Jesus has no power. If the blood of Jesus would have had power, having been shed 2,000 years ago, in the meantime, the world should be better. But it is worse. That's why I say there is no power in the blood of Jesus. I just try to make it very short. And then I said to him, well, I would like to answer. I said to him, there's also a lot of soap in this world, yet many people are still dirty. I said, mister, if I stand next to a piece of soap and I'm dirty, I'm not automatically clean. Not even if I should work in a soap factory. I said, if you want to know, mister, what soap can do, you've got to take the soap. Stretch out your hand and take the soap and apply it to your sinful life. Then you will know what soap can do. And so it is with the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now, why I tell you this now, is because he then stood there, sat there with big eyes and looked to me and said, Bonky, I've never met an evangelist like you. When you speak, he said, I can feel something emanating from yourself. He said, I met some other evangelists, but I felt nothing emanating. He said, I was thinking while you spoke what the difference may be between the other evangelists and you. I think the others were amateurs and you are a professional. I said, mister, you are wrong again. I'm not a professional evangelist, but I tell you what I am. I am a living piece of evidence that there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I left Television House, walking to my car there on the parking lot, suddenly somebody tapped me on my shoulder. Look around. Huh? My atheist. And he whispered into my ear, Bonky, will you pray for me? The gospel, and Jesus, the living Jesus, will take over. Amen. I've been sometimes, not here in America, but I've been sometimes sitting in churches. You know what? I was so dead. Jesus was there, but he was actually a statue in marble, the finest marble. We need a living Christ, because he is the helper and savior. Jesus is alive. Amen. Well, I've got one more point. Because Jesus is alive, the church must be alive. To be dead is a sin. Can you imagine the living head sitting on a dead body? How is that going to go? The head outside the coffin and the body inside? May God help us. Get the living Jesus on your side. And you will see miracles. You will see salvations. Wonderful, wonderful salvations. Amen. Amen. We are his body. Deadness is sin. You know, in Britain, they've got all these old masters in museums and churches. These old great masters. And they always thought the somber color of these great masters was intended by the masters, the artists. Until one day, somebody began to strip off those layers. They were layers of varnish. One layer, it became brighter. Another layer, another layer, another layer. And then that old picture was shining in all its brilliance. Beautifully, colorful. So wonderful. And you know what came to me? This is a picture of unbelief. I Unbelief is judgment. We need to strip the Christian faith and message from all these layers that have been added and made us so somber and so serious. Although the house of God is full of joy and full of laughter and full of praise and full of miracles. Amen. There is no comfort in unbelief. No. I vow to God, I will never, ever comfort anybody in their unbelief. Oh, you're such a wonderful person. Oh, never mind, never mind. No! And I never pray the prayer that says, I believe, help my unbelief. I don't want my unbelief to get any help. I pray for my unbelief to die and my faith to live and rise. You can count on me. I never give you the benefit of my doubt. I give you the benefit of my faith. Amen. We are in a different zone. We are in a different kingdom. Jesus is alive. That is the kingdom of God. Amen. Theories, theologies have cheated us out of the simplicity which is in Christ. But here's the original. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the best interpreter. Oh, it's so wonderful. So glorious. Praise God. Praise God. Atheists have declared that Jesus is dead and buried. All right, he's dead and buried. So they bury him. And here those great men who declared that, they stand there at the grave with their shovels. And they just tap the grave with the shovels to firm it down. And while they top the grave, suddenly somebody tops them here. And they look around. And there's Jesus. He says, behold, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and Hades in my hands. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They patted down his grave. And he pats their shoulder. May they all find the living Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I've got one more point. Is that okay? Yeah. I want to speak just shortly about Mary Magdalene. She was the woman who had been possessed, the Bible says, by seven devils. Amen. She was a very immoral person. As a matter of fact, she was a prostitute. Amen. But then her path crossed the path of Jesus. And everything changed. The seven devils were all kicked out. And the Holy Spirit came in. Then she witnessed how her Jesus died. It broke her heart, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus. It broke her heart. Then she witnessed how they buried him. They buried him in a borrowed grave. She watched all the proceedings and she was just crushed. And then, Easter morning, you know, she was the first one to discover that the stone was rolled away. But then, she was outside and the Bible says she wept bitterly. Remember that? She wept bitterly. And I was praying, I said, Lord, why did she weep bitterly? That must have really been bitterly. The Holy Spirit answered. And this is what he said. Mary was, Magdalene was an intelligent woman. When she saw her Jesus dead, the very one who had saved her, she got the fright and the shock of her life when she suddenly thought, Jesus is gone. Now all the devils will come back to me. That's why she cried. That's why she trembled. The old life will come back again and will get seven times worse. And while she wept bitterly and cried, suddenly, a beautiful voice from a person she had assumed was the gardener. And there came one word. I wished I could speak it the way Jesus spoke it. Mary. What her red, cried eyes couldn't see, her ears picked up when he said, Mary. She shot around. It was her Jesus. Jesus was alive. What did she cry? She cried, Rabboni. I tell you what that meant. I have the gift of interpretation 2,000 years later. I tell you what Rabboni meant. This is what she wanted to cry. Jesus, as long as you live, no devil can come back. Jesus, as long as you live, I remain a child of God. Oh, Jesus, as long as you live, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Are you happy? Oh, I'm so glad myself. Oh, I'm so glad. You know, I'm not just preaching to you, I preach to myself. Sometimes I preach myself into faith. We preachers all do, I think, now and again. Oh, what a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful Jesus. He is not dead, Mr. Pilate. He is alive. I was in Switzerland. And one of these beautiful lakes, forget now the name of that lake. I think Andrew and I were there. And we were told here in this lake, Pontius Pilate died. He came back from Israel, was dumped by Caesar, went in a boat, put weights on his body, and drowned himself. Wow. You see, that's when judge and jury have nothing much to say. We all need Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you can have him right now. Yes. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. And here he comes and says, look, I take all the rottenness out of your life. All secret sins. I take it all out. And I give you a brand new life. Brand new. In Orlando, one young man said to me, my life is so messed up, it's like a scrambled egg. Can Jesus unscramble my life? I said, yes, of course he can. But he doesn't need to. He gives you a brand new egg. Hallelujah. Jesus makes all things new. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen.